It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig and Jeff with you. Snoop alongside as well. Clean up from hour number one on this.
Hey, real quick, Craig, before you get to the cleanup. Snoop, what did you do with your King Griffey Jr. rookie card? Tomorrow is our pack break Friday.
It's on my desk and displayed proudly.
Nice.
So I can look at it fondly and... It really brings me euphoria just looking at it.
Nice. Do you have like a preview of what's going to happen with the pack break Friday tomorrow, just so I'll know what to expect?
For sure, we got some baseball. We got a couple different options. I think we got some Bowman baseball. It's all 2021 stuff. We got some Bowman or some Donruss, and maybe something else. I don't know. We got a few things. It's all building to the finale.
You were still pretty impressed by that story I just read about the card collection.
Yeah, I just went to PSA's website during the break. So that 1933 Gaudi Babe Ruth in that condition, PSA values it at $1.25 million. But in this market, in this car, as a kid who lived through the junk wax era, I'm a firm believer that there are card bubbles. This is going to pop at some point. It always does. Markets always correct themselves. That Ruth is probably going to break the record for the most expensive baseball card ever. It has to. And then a 52 Topps Mantle and a PSA 8 valued about $775,000. That's just two cards out of that collection.
How about that?
So
can consider that. Somebody asked over my story about the IHOP new concept called Flipped. They said, are you guys IHOP guys or Waffle House guys?
I'm really neither.
Waffle House.
Really, neither. I'm much more.
That's because you're now living down in Del Valle, so you're not far from the airport location.
I'm about walk to it.
The whiz off of his house.
If I want to hurt myself, I'll try to.
So have you gone over there and had an order of scrambled egg and cheese with sausage and hash brown, scattered, smothered, and covered
grits. I haven't been over there since I moved over there, though. I think that's what's so weird. I always want Waffle House, and then as soon as I move down the street from it, I don't even go.
Yeah, see? It's there for you. It's waiting for you. So tell Jeff that Lago Vista was a first-year team when he played.
You think I care?
No, I know you don't care, and I know I know you don't care, and I know. And by the way, earlier...
There was two W's on my ledger.
Yeah. Somebody said the last time I went to Florence, and this goes back to the Gerald Florence War that was going on first hour. It said, let's see. Last time I went to Florence, I ate at one of the downtown diners. When I got ready to leave the town, the town had all the exits blocked, so I couldn't get out. I think they had skateboarding going on or something. They were ticked. They had to move the blockade for me. Not a friendly way to draw customers.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know. I don't know too much about Florence, America logistics these days.
All right. It says, Craig, get the guy who announces live music. Quit pronouncing Copeland as Coupland. I grew up there, but moved to Thorndale in Milam County.
Who pronounces it Coupland?
I don't know who he meant. Because, I don't know.
Who would do that?
I don't know. And then our man from Gerald, who really gets into it with you, is not the same one that said the best thing never happened to Florence was Gerald moving out of their classification means they get worn out by Gerald less. It wasn't him, but the guy who does engage with you, he did.
He weighed in.
Where did he weigh in?
Oh, it's right there.
There it is.
No, go down. I think it's down one.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, this guy's. I played at Gerald from 2012 to 2015, and we wiped the floor every time we played Florence, home or away.
Well, that wasn't during my time, so.
So I think Gerald.
Here's the one you're looking for, Craig.
Yes. It says, the Purple Buffalo is full of it today. They haven't ever kicked anybody's ass at in football. Go Cougs!
Yeah, because
this is the same guy who weighed in last month as a graduation was at Gerald High School Gymnasium, where we used to wipe the floor with all the Purple Buffaloes. You can tell the rivalry is alive with him because he refers to you and the school, the Purple Buffaloes.
The Gerald Gymnasium, you're talking about the one that smells like rat pee? I'm serious. There's a gym at Gerald. I don't think they use it anymore. The gym smells like rat pee. Look, anybody that played in that gym, I don't care what, if you're from Granger, Salado, wherever, you can confirm that the gym at Gerald smelled like rat pee.
They've got a new school there now.
We used to call it the rat pee gym.
Stop it.
Varsity, you're on the big court. JV, you're playing in a rat pee gym.
That's funny. Fight, it says. At least Colleen doesn't rely on dial-up internet like Gerald and Florence.
Right. I'm gonna avoid Colleen smack today.
All right. Okay. So that was kind of what's going on there. Shaw number three with the hand over the head slapping the forehead of Copeland. It is Copeland. You know, and you want to learn something about...
See, here it is, Craig. Here it is. Look. Text coming through.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'm from Bartlett and Gerald did rat
yes.
pee gym.
I told you, I'm not making this up. This is not a rib, not a bit. This is real.
The text says, hey, I'm from Bartlett and Gerald did have a rat pee gym. That is great. Yeah. And somebody says, you shouldn't know what rat pee smells like. Pointing out
it smells like Gerald, Texas. That's what I know it smells like.
Yeah. Victor asking the question, I thought when you said flipped, it was going to be that we had to go in there and cook our own breakfast.
Well, is that not such a beating when you stay at a hotel and they're like, oh, you have the continental breakfast. Yeah, you got to make your own waffles or whatever.
Yeah.
Pour the batter in the waffle iron and flip it.
But at least you're not having to, you know, not having to pay for it.
I guess.
And of course, during... In the last several months, a lot of the places didn't have it, or even the ones like, say, if you stayed, for example, Linda and I stayed at a Marriott property, and what most of the Marriott properties, when we were out in Los Angeles last weekend, they didn't have those, you know, when they say the free cooked order breakfast, things like that, it's grab and go. Stuff like it's like a sack lunch kind of thing. Yeah. You have an orange and a bottle of water and some yogurt and a granola bar in it, and maybe a banana or something like that. That's what a lot of that had become out of caution and
trying to think.
Being sanitary stuff. Like
I haven't
that.
Stayed in too many hotels since COVID started.
Mm.
You know, we did a little Galveston trip last summer and stayed at Moody Gardens, and all the only difference was there was no like buffet.
Yeah.
You could get breakfast, but you sit at the table and they bring it to you.
Yeah. It was one of the big changes. Now, it's again, a lot of this is starting return back to some of the thing. The Longhorn in Lubbock says, a la You Are Cooks. You Are Cooks was fun.
Man, we've talked about this.
That was fun.
We talked about this before. I never had the privilege of doing the You Are Cooks thing. But
it was good.
And others have expressed that it was pretty glorious back in the day.
It was. CB says, Rat P, isn't that how to keep Aggies? Well, okay, all right. So anyway, so that's where all of that went. Let's get to a couple items before... we get to the break and then the notebook. The NBA play-in continued last night, end of the season for the Spurs. Got down huge early, then made a really good comeback.
I stopped watching because it looked like it was pretty much done.
Came all the way back, actually took the lead on a couple of occasions, and then Memphis, too much Ja Morant down the stretch, and got the win. So Memphis will play the Lakers, who won the late night game. Snoop, were you up for the late nighter last night?
I was.
Lakers, Warriors. What about you, Jeff?
I watched most of it. Yeah,
Ooh, the end was so good. Yeah, you know what? And for as much grief
watched,
as people
watched a lot of it, checked out, and then came back.
As much grief as people give LeBron, he just has, like, last night was a moment that I won't forget. Like him nailing that 3-pointer to win it. So, you know,
he's always had the clutch gene.
Yeah.
On that, him individually, even if his teams have not always had it.
He gave Curry a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah. So now it is the Warriors having to play the Grizzlies for the 8th spot, the Lakers the 7th seed, and now we're playing, who's the 2 seed?
Who am I leaving? Phoenix. Yes.
Phoenix is the 2. Mm-hmm. That's right. Utah's the 1. That's right. Phoenix is the 2.
And then Dallas.
Dallas is in the 4 or 5 with the Clippers. Yeah. Yeah. And that'll start on Saturday as well. Somebody weighing in says, hotels with the omelet bar is where it's at. Or certainly where it was. You know, hopefully they returned to those. You know, it wasn't always the case during the pandemic with some of that. But anyway,
Snoop, is someone who's down with 90s culture like mm-hmm. I am, are you digging that the Grizzlies for their anniversary season that they're really going all in with the old Vancouver Grizzlies look?
That's okay.
Listen, my youngest son asked me about that last night. The uniforms they wore last night, the Vancouver Grizzlies did not wear uniforms like that right. said Vancouver instead of Memphis, because the Vancouver Grizzly uniforms did not have yellow in them.
Right.
Now, they did have, and Memphis has done this part of it correctly, the black with the red and the white and a little bit of teal.
Mm-hmm.
That part, correct. Logo, correct, on the floor. Even some of that on the baseline stuff. Not the uniforms they wore last night, though.
No.
And that
but it's in that style.
It is in that style. And they did wear a Memphis uniform that was just like the Vancouver mm-hmm. one that was black. They have worn that. The one they wore last night was not that. However,
bringing back the old Bryant Reeves jerseys.
Yeah. Mike Bibby.
Country.
Mike Bibby, I believe.
On Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And there were some bad Vancouver Grizzlies teams. Bad teams. Yeah, really bad. But 20 years in the NBA, and of course now most of those spent in Memphis. I know you had, there was something else you wanted to hit before we got to the break.
No, we were going to do a little Texas West Virginia preview.
Right.
We'll just save
you
it for the
throw
notebook.
It, throw yeah, it
we'll,
in the notebook.
We'll do it in the notebook. Yeah,
we'll cook it up there in the notebook. There.
Yeah, got a little football to talk, but we'll do it in the notebook.
Okay. Plenty ahead in the notebook as we continue with Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Okay, so an hour ago, we told people, since you were bumping back with the King, that you were going to tell folks. Who else is at ACL Fest other than George Strait as the headliner? So, Snoop Daniel, do you have the list there in front of you?
I do, but, man, people, I guess, don't feel the same way as me.
Oh, really?
I mean, can't live with me. I like that part. Sorry. Well, okay, Billie Eilish.
Okay.
She was real big the year before COVID happened.
And was supposed to be here last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
It's really young. It is young, I guess. That's really? George Strait is really the only, like, how do I say this? Like the other headliners are DaBaby and Megan Thee Stallion and Machine Gun Kelly's, if that tells you anything, Jeff.
Okay.
Jack Harlow, ring a bell? No, it's really young. So I guess yeah. After I put
Machine
that, people
Gun,
are like,
Machine
Snoop,
Gun
you,
Kelly, really?
You have terrible taste. So. Okay. That's what people are paying me for, so I guess it's not a great lineup.
Well, it just depends on your preferences.
Yeah.
Did you say Stevie Nicks?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess Miley Cyrus is. I don't know. It is. It's a strange lineup, I guess.
Well, but I heard Tom Gimbel talking about this too. Like you're trying to get guarantees for a festival. There are still some artists that whether it be. Vaccines or COVID protocols in certain areas or whatever. I mean, some artists still don't know when they're going to tour again. If they want to be back out on the road
right.
in the fall. So this was probably a tougher, maybe a tougher list to put together, a tougher bill to put together.
Yeah,
for the ACL folks.
By the way, someone had asked, will the music survey make a return this summer? The answer is yes. It becomes easier to do it, far easier to do it when we're able to have guests in the studio and things like that. And as those protocols ease up and things like, then yes, that would be the plan. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, that's definitely going to be the plan. Okay, it's time for another round of the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Mm-hmm. You know, Craig, I always chuckle at your experience in Fayetteville. Because
the pimento cheese sandwich?
Yeah, yeah. So break down that sentence. So you and Keith are just walking in to the stadium?
Walking up the hill. I don't think Keith was with me at the time because I'd flown in Saturday morning because of doing the high school show the night before. This is back in 2004. And Andy was spotting for me. And Alex Lorenz, my statistician, I think we were walking up in at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. You walk up a hill. You remember this. So you kind of walk up the...
I've never been to Fayetteville.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This predated your time doing it. Okay. You're in for a treat this fall.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah. You walk up this hill back behind the street to go up to the press box.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're walking up this road.
Is it kind of like walking up the grassy knoll at the old Floyd Casey Stadium?
A little bit. a little bit, but it's kind of, okay. but steeper, really.
Okay.
And you're walking up, and there are people up above you on the ridge line on the hill up there, and they're tailgating.
Okay.
So there's people up there, great tailgaters. And I will, by the way, preface this by saying when the game was over and Texas had won that dramatic 22-20 ball game, when we're leaving on our way out, we were invited sincerely by several different fans to stop and have a beverage, stuff, you know, and all that. People were real kind to us on the way out. Yeah, this was after a difficult loss. But on the way up the hill, and I'm wearing a suit, a gray suit. Now, I think I did have a burnt orange tie on, but I'm wearing a gray suit.
It's probably your first mistake.
Yeah. And so we're walking up there. Somebody said, well, they knew you weren't a Longhorn because you were wearing shoes. That came up, you know, that invariably came up. That's it. But there was people up there standing on the hill, and you heard some hooting and hollering, and if you looked up, whatever, you might see, you know, a horns down or whatever. But I'm just walking up to the press box. And then I look up, and right when I look up, I just saw it leave somebody's hands. Something is thrown, and it's coming at me, and I stopped. And fortunately, I stopped, and it splatted right in front of me. Pimento cheese sandwich.
Damn savage, throwing a sandwich at a Hall of Fame broadcast.
You've
got to be damned ashamed of yourself.
Well, it wasn't a Hall of Fame back then, see. So
well,
there you go.
I should have known.
But it was a pimento cheese sandwich that I could tell, even as it splatted on the pavement there, had been like, you know, prepared lovingly and triangularly cut, but someone had heaved it, and just missed hitting me with a pimento cheese sandwich.
Karma. The Larry Dibbles incident at the end of the game, that was karma.
All you could do is laugh.
Chunking a pimento cheese sandwich.
All you could do was laugh about that. The Larry Dibbles incident. Remind me.
Well, yeah, he had the big fumble recovery.
Oh, yeah. He did. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And of course, I always remember
incident
Philip Geiger.
Right,
yeah. I remember Philip Geiger with a big interception that Matt Jones threw late in the game. So it was a heck of a ball game. Cedric Benson, big touchdown in the game. Texas won that one 22-20. So this will be the first time. 17 years after the fact, it'll be the first time Texas will have played in Fayetteville.
Going
Arkansas.
Back to Fayetteville, I mentioned at Horns 24/7 this morning, the insider piece is posted. My colleague Chip Brown has a real in-depth interview with Houston Nutt, just kind of chronicling that rivalry. And it's topical because the game time was announced this week. It's going to be a 6:00 kick on ESPN, so prime time in Fayetteville, just like it was back in 2004. This is a quote, and I think this puts in perspective kind of just how Arkansas people view the rivalry. Because, Craig, I was a kid when the Southwest Conference disbanded, and mm-hmm. even when Arkansas left to go to the SEC after the 91 season. So
right.
It's one of those deals where I remember the rivalry, but I don't. So people younger than me have no idea about the rivalry, and people older than me, it was a big deal. But I found these two quotes interesting. One is from Houston Nutt. Quote, Texas has always been Arkansas's Super Bowl. Ask Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, they'll tell you the same thing. If full capacity fans is allowed in for the game, which everyone is hoping hoping will be the case, it'll be chaos. The fans will do their part. I just thought that it's Arkansas yep. Super Bowl. That was interesting to me. And then this quote from the late Frank Broyles ahead of the game in 2004. Well, really, when the home and home was announced in 03-04, Frank Broyles said, quote, "I know Texas has a lot of rivalries, as good or better than Arkansas. For Arkansas fans, it's been the number one rival for 70 years."
Yeah.
So, you know, Texas fans, those of you going up there, and I get a hint of it. If I'm wearing, like, some Texas gear when I go, because my wife's family lives in Arkansas, if I'm wearing Texas gear when I go up there, I get dirty looks. I'll get horns down. Like, it is a, once you cross that state line, it's a different world how they view this rivalry than it's viewed by people in the state of Texas. So that's an interesting take
on the
Texas-Arkansas rivalry.
It lights them up in other sports as well. I've been there for baseball.
Yeah.
Been there for basketball. But I can tell you nothing ignites it more than obviously football between Texas and Arkansas. But they feel it on all of those. You know, Keith Moreland was being recruited at the time that the shootout game was played, mm-hmm. 1969. And Keith, it was Arkansas's home game, obviously, it was up in Fayetteville. So Keith just decided to go up on his own.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So he went with his parents. He went to the game, and the 69 shootout game, and he tells the story that I've heard so many others tell, that it was extremely difficult to get gasoline once you got in there. Arkansas, and back in those days, you know, full-service gas stations, they refused to sell gasoline to anyone with a Texas license plate. Refused to sell it. So you better have had enough gas going in and going out, because otherwise you weren't going to be able to get any, that sort of stuff. That's the kind of, you know, the emotions that were fueled in this rivalry between those two. And it always was, I think, more important to Arkansas. But it was important to Texas, too, at the time when Arkansas was really good.
Yeah.
It had become important.
So I wanted to get to a couple other things, some transfer stuff. At 24/7 Sports, we dropped our top 100 transfer rankings and look at guys leaving, guys coming in, all that stuff. I wanted to get that, but we'll save that for tomorrow. So it's a tease for what's coming in one of the notebook segments tomorrow. But I want to get to this real quick. Before we get to baseball, we'll stick mm-hmm. on the Arkansas topic. CB's asking, why did Arkansas push the return game in 09 to 2021? That's because at the time, Arkansas wanted to start what was a non-conference series at the time with Texas A&M.
That's right. And they didn't push it to 2021.
No.
It was originally pushed to 14, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Then I think Arkansas had another issue in 14, and so they pushed it back. I think they were talking about being in 17 or 18, and then Texas had an issue where they couldn't do it. I think maybe with USC being on the schedule or something, and then it got pushed to 21.
Yeah.
It got pushed back, if I remember correctly, it got pushed back three different times for different reasons, but all it always had to do with scheduling as well. Yeah. That's why.
But that the initial pushback from a home and home with Arkansas moving the Fayetteville date, initially it was because they were going to do the non-conference
yep.
series at Jerry World with A&M, which, as we know now, is a conference game.
You're up. That's the reasoning for it. So, and there was a time when I wondered if they were ever going to play that game, the return game, and I was going to be fine if they didn't, you know. But then I heard, it's going to be, it's going to happen. It's going to be 2021. So it's a one-off now what it has yeah. become. And sandwiched in between the season opener against Louisiana and then the other home game against Rice before the start of conference play. So it'll be an important early season test for an improved Arkansas team that proved to Jeff Howe, among others, that they were better than he and others thought they might be.
Better than Ofer.
Yeah.
That's three more games than I thought they'd win.
Yeah, yeah. So Coach Pittman did a good job.
Yeah.
With them.
Let's preview this baseball series.
Yeah. All right. So it's obviously the West Virginia Mountaineers coming. David Pierce was on with Bucky and Aaron this morning, and he echoed a lot of the things he'd heard. West Virginia has improved a bit, and the reason they've improved, they've gotten healthier, and that includes their pitching. They had to go to a situation where they were starting three left-handers on the weekends, and you know, right-handed hitters were just feasting on it by the time he got to Sunday. Well, now they've gotten healthier a little bit. They got a right-hander in Carlson Reed who will go on Sunday. But their best pitcher is a left-hander. It's Jackson Wolf, who will get the start tonight. Yeah, I know he's 4-5. He's also got a 3.13 ERA, which is pretty good pitching in an offensive-friendly ballpark and dealing with some of the teams they've had to deal with. And he has been a part of why they've been able to kind of turn things around a little bit. So Austin Davis, who's batting 316, is their leading hitter. It is a team that is 22-23 and is only hitting 254. Where they've come unraveled, where you can get them, where they've had trouble, is their bullpen. Get beyond the starters, and you get especially to the setup and short relief. They've struggled with that. They've struggled to hold leads in games late. What I'm curious to see, obviously, is how the Longhorns perform coming off not having a competitive game in 11 days. You can put in the four innings of the Texas Southern, because David Pierce told us on Monday that they really did thought it was a positive what they got out of that. They were able to play four innings of live pitching and that sort of thing, and be in an in-game environment. They had a seven-inning scrimmage on Tuesday of this week before the rains hit, once they knew the Rice game wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So they've gotten in good work, and then you think about the pitching, and you hope that Ty Madden is on the market, ready to go.
Yeah, and Coach Pierce told us earlier this week when he was on with us that he felt like the rest was going to benefit Ty Madden and Tristan Stevens more than anybody on the roster, because they've gone every time it's been time for them to get the ball.
Yep.
They've taken it and they've towed the rubber. So for them to get this little rest before you hit this series, and then obviously the Big 12 tournament, and then on into the NCAA tournament, good time there. I would expect, Craig, maybe the bats to start a little slow, timing, all that stuff, get a little bit to need a little bit of time for that to come back. But I'm anxious to see your two frontline starters, how they look coming off of the rest. And then Pete Hansen, Pete's a different deal because he was really starting to ramp up. Want to see how that rest impacts him on Saturday, not the Sunday start, but the Saturday start.
That's right, final game of the weekend, since it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Answer to the question, I don't have the answer to this question. There have been some folks that asked, since the NCAA has announced that postseason can allow for 100% fan attendance, does that mean that will be the case this weekend? I do not know the answer to that question.
Well, that was for the NCAA tournament.
Right. So folks are asking, does that mean that the Longhorns are now going to allow 100% capacity this weekend?
I would guess if we haven't heard anything by now, what are we?
Yeah.
You know, 6.5 hours for the first pitch?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So but I haven't heard anything further about that. So that's it. It is tonight. And again, the stakes are Texas one game back of TCU in the conference standings. TCU plays at Kansas State. All the Big 12 series are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And TCU will have Russell Smith going tonight, their left-hander. And Jordan Wicks, the outstanding K-State left-hander, will go for the Wildcats. Keep an eye on that game. If Texas holds serve tonight behind Ty Madden and takes the victory, take a look and see what happens up in Manhattan, because the best opportunity for Kansas State to beat TCU might be tonight. Be tonight. So just kind of keep an eye on it. And Wicks has been really on at times and really off at times this year. It just depends. And if he's really on, then maybe they might have an opportunity. We'll see. But again, Texas would need to make up one game in the standings to, at the very least, share the Big 12 title. And if they share the Big 12 title, then they would be the one seed for the Big 12 conference. Or one other thing, too, because I've gotten some questions about this. There was initially something on the Big 12 website that showed the bracket for next week's Big 12 tournament. Now, the bracket's on the website, but it's been corrected. The bracket initially showed the 8-9 play-in game, which is next Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. And right now, that 8-9 game would be West Virginia and Kansas, but we'll see. Oklahoma has a three-game weekend series at Baylor. Kansas is playing at Tech, and then, of course, West Virginia here. But what that bracket showed was the winner advancing to play at 12:30 on Wednesday. What that would mean is, of course, the 8-9 winner plays the one seed. So that would mean that the one seed is going to play at 12:30. I asked the Big 12 Conference about that, and I was told, nope, that's a mistake. That was that shouldn't be up there, and that'll be corrected, and it was corrected on that. But I would say this, the one seed is probably going to be given, if not a choice, certainly heavy consideration for the time in which they would like to play. And the two most favorable times over the years that coaches have favored, if you're the one seed, are either 12:30 or 4 o'clock. Because as the day goes on, the lag time after games grows and grows. Right. Supposed to be 45 minutes between games. And if any of those games drag out, then it really drags the whole schedule back. And especially if you get a rain shower or something, too, it could possibly happen. So the two middle games, the 12:30 scheduled and the 4 o'clock scheduled time, are the ones usually where the one seed might play in one and the two might play in the other on opposite sides of the bracket. So that's kind of the thought. I would say that there's a decent chance, since we know Texas and TCU in some order are going to finish 1 and 2, that's a definite. One will be the one seed, one will be the two seed. That probably one of them will play at 12:30, and probably one of them will play at 4 o'clock. Not a given. The two seed could wind up playing in that last game of the day and evening. I don't see either of them playing at 9 a.m. Certainly not the one seed. The one thing that is definite, the winner of the 8-9 play-in is not going to play at 9 a.m.
Right.
That's the only definite determination that's been made. So whoever wins gets the one seed, be it Texas or TCU, they're not going to play at 9 o'clock in the morning next Wednesday. That
and,
we know.
And then real quick, Craig, got a question on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Will the Texas game get pushed back to Sunday if Friday or Saturday's games get canceled due to rain?
No. Big 12 rule. It's the 72-hour rule, or basically a 3-day rule. I mean, it's not exactly 72 hours, but once the team is in town, you got 3 days. West Virginia's here. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like that everywhere. Sunday is not a cushion date.
Right.
They have to get it in by Saturday. So if there's a rain, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about the best chance of rain this weekend is Saturday. So is there the possibility maybe of a Friday doubleheader? Maybe. But let's see what happens first. Game one tonight, 6:30 on the Horn. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. We're done for the program this afternoon.
Second time I've almost cut my damn finger on the on button.
Look at you.
God, I worked
on that. CB is asking, will Texas need a helicopter at Tish Fork because of all the rain like Dallas Baptist in 2015. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget Colin Shaw with a fish out in the outfield washing up from the creek.
Fish.
I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Nice piece of fish.
So we'll look over that. Tom Emily Wolfan, thank you for texting in the picture. Texas women's tennis, great job for the Longhorns going to the Final Four. Going to play NC State and root for the Texas men today against USC, trying to get to the Final Four as well. So softball tomorrow, talk about that with the regional. Also, golf has moved on to the national tournament. We've got a lot to get to tomorrow on the program. For our man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel, and for my co-host Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Up next, Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We'll visit with you tomorrow, 10 o'clock, right here on Light the Tower.